JC2S, Part 2.
Number 10B.
So this is method of text interpretation. I want to help you help yourself to be the scientist, because as Max also said, that this idea will get lost for a while until somebody comes along who can do text interpretation, because it saves the subject. It's that which has that tonality of reading the Bible, reading the textbook, and then reading life experience. It's that ability to read a text that will lead on the subject. So this is why I feel it is so important. Now, therefore, we see that that method of abstraction then that Max was already using by going to the Dorley work and saying, all right, here is all this information. Now, can I hear the mind in what Dorley did and translated it into Swiss German and into the Bible books? Actually, the books we have today of Kapler's work on Genesis, Exodus, Joshua, and Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel are just a translation of those books he gave to the Swiss field. They were originally written in German, so it came back to English again. And we see how they are an epitomized version of what John Dorley does. It doesn't take anything away from John Dorley's work, because John Dorley's work gives us that beautiful, adds the flesh to the bones. Max gave us that epitomized view of those subjects. But always we love the Dorley work because it brings us the flesh to the structure that Max gives in those books there. So he took the work and epitomized it, and that's the art he learned. So therefore, this is what we do too. We come into a text that has all these words, and we want to now epitomize it into just a few points, leaving out what we don't need that's repetitious, and just getting the essence. And this is what we will call an abstraction, really the art, adding a bit the art to the science. So if we look, go from marginal heading to marginal heading here on what we've just done, well, the abstraction, then we will see that, first of all, we see that I just have down theology and on there that it's the tone of life, and that the epitome there is that the one life lifts theology from a dead to a living, practical Christianity or theology, which we saw had the tone of life. The one life lifts theology from a dead theology, the opposite of the living theology, back into a living theology. And how is that done? Now, that theme of how the one life lifts a theology from a dead theology to a living theology is brought out now from its premise to conclusion through the subtones. So that theme now should be running through the whole text of how that one life is going to lift a dead theology out of itself back into a living theology. Well, it says, therefore, life is mine, that one life which is going to lift theology is the Christ Spirit. And that one life which will be doing the lifting is revealed only to the receptive thought. So first of all, for the one life to lift theology from a dead to a living theology, it's going to take a receptive thought to it first. How can the one life do it if there isn't any receptivity to it that's doing it? So it says, where in the world is this one life going to find the channel to lift theology from a dead theology into a living practical theology? First of all, it's got to find the receptive thought. And so Mrs. Eddy says, I'll show you the subject by showing you where we're not going to find the receptive thought. So under the marginal heading churchly neglect, we saw she asked the question, must Christian Science come through the churches as persons insist? That was the big point of that whole paragraph. So we've reduced it down to just that question. And then she answers, This science has come already after the manner of God's appointing, but the churches seem not ready to receive it. So she's with the tone of life in mind there when she says, must this science that I've just explained in the first four subjects, is that life science going to come through the churches as people think, as personalities think, as human opinions think? She says, no, this science doesn't take in personality. It doesn't care about personality. This science is going to come through its own channels. And anyhow, it's already come. This principle already has life. It's already come. And it's come after the manner of the Christ appointing. But that old theology, those old churches, that which doesn't support the life spirit, they're not ready to receive it. They don't have a receptive thought. It's not going to come to them. She seems to imply no. It's not going to come through the channels of old theology because they're not ready to receive it. They don't have a receptive thought. All right, so we go to the next abstraction that I did from that point. All right, so then I even epitomized it more, maintaining what she's saying, but just giving it in a more epitomized form. This is the art of abstraction. You can take all that text and say, now what is she saying there at life as mind? She's saying, oh, the life which is mind of Christ, that life which comes only to the receptive thought, which comes only to the mind of Christ, that mind knows no limits. It knows no lack. It knows no persecution. You hear everything that life which is mind knows. Mind knows. And mind knows what? All that life knows at this point. Therefore, that mind knows no limits to life, spirit. Meaning that mind knows no lack, the opposite of that life, spirit. That mind knows no persecution, the opposite of that life, spirit. Therefore, what does that life as mind know? That life of mind knows its own channels, which are the channels of the Christ. Therefore, that life as mind knows its own channels that are like life as mind itself, that knows no limitations. Therefore, life as mind knows its own channels that are like the life spirit, which is receptive thought. Therefore, it has channels independent of what we think they should be, because life as mind knows the channels that are like itself. So we are never going to know the channels that the life as mind are going to use. It knows its channels, and it knows its channels that are like itself, regardless if we think it should come through the churches. So it's really that life as mind which impels mind science to go forward. See, life impels has that life tone. So life impels mind science to go forward, to have life. So it's that life which comes to the receptive thought which is going to impel mind science to evolve, to go forward, to have life. Therefore, it's not coming to those who do not support the ever-flowing life which is mind, that ever-flowing life that knows no limits, that knows no persecution, that knows no restrictions. Obviously, that consciousness that is not supportive is that which knows restrictions, that knows lack. Therefore, that unreceptive thought is in a restrictive mentality, a lacking mentality, a persecuting mentality. For example, the Christian churches. He came unto his own, and the own received them not. The wise and the prudent, that restricted, unsupporting, unreceptive thought, that which rejects but does not support that life which is mind. So therefore, she's saying that life which is mind is received or supported life by the receptive thought mind. For example, the babes, the men and women whose hearts and natures are made ready for it. So this life is mind lets the Christ through science reveal mind science only to the receptive thought. That's how it's going to come. And then the story went on through the next marginal heading. I just picked up that then about John the Baptist, and I asked, well, what is the essence of what is being said here? And all that under that marginal heading from 131, 26 to 132, 13, all that under John the Baptist and the Messiah, I just looked at all those sentences and said, oh, well, all she wants to bring out here is that life which is mind, showing that the works, life of the mind of Christ. Do we hear? Life is mind, huh? The works of the mind of Christ. They support the ever-advancing mind science. Do you hear the life is mind tones? Yes? No? Yes. Good. So life is mind. Life, the works, mind of the mind of Christ, support the ever-advancing life, mind science, mind. Therefore, Jesus was the example of that life which is mind, because he had that mind of Christ, and his life works, which were based on that life which is mind, supported the ever-advancing idea of mind science. See, he had that attitude of serving the idea, of the humility to serve the idea. So with that mind of Christ, his works then supported the ever-advancing mind science and established his claim to the Messiahship. Naturally, the mind of Christ in him, which allowed him to do these works, established that he was a transparency to the Christ. He was willing to serve the Christ. It is not my will, but thine be done. So the Christ used him. If Jesus would have gone off and just walked, jogged around the Sea of Galilee all day, he never would have been used, would he? No. All right, so we go on to the next two marginal headings I brought in. Christ rejected and John's misgivings. And here, I just reduced those two marginal headings then of, well, yes, that is not, that's just those marginal headings. Yes, Christ rejected from page 132, 14 to the next marginal heading, 133. Two, all that many, many terms, I just felt, well, really all she's saying here is that the Christ is rejected, and John's just an example of rejecting the Christ. So it's just showing, therefore, that Christ is rejected, meaning that dead theology and doctrines of the human mind. Life, the opposite of life, dead theology of the human mind, they do not support the ever-advancing, the opposite of life. They don't support it, because life does support mind science. So dead theology of the human mind do not support the ever-advancing mind science. And now she just shows us examples of that. The Pharisees of old and the material beliefs concerning life, they don't support the ever-advancing mind science because they're just in dead theology of the human mind. Or sanitary and religious systems don't support it. Doctrines of physics or divinity don't support it. Blind beliefs don't support it. And even John the Baptist really ended up not supporting it in its highest sense. Then, to the last marginal heading, I took then just the marginal heading from page 133, 133.3 to 18, and I said, now how can that all be reduced according to that marginal heading, face to work. What is Mrs. Eddy saying there in all those many, many words? So I said, well, she's just saying that life, the works of mind, the mind of Christ, heal and save the Christ and work wonders. So she's just saying, well, the works of the mind of Christ, they heal and save and they work wonders. And they're supported by faith, not by blind belief. And they save from the beliefs in the plagues and the poisonous stings of vipers and the fiery furnace. And therefore they work these wonders, that the works of the mind of Christ, that life which is mind, it works wonders, because it works that out of that streams flow out of the rocks. Just meaning that new discoveries in the mind science flow from the mind of Christ. Or manna fell from the sky, meaning that we had the sudden supply of life from the mind of Christ. Life is mind. And therefore, if we don't support the works of the mind of Christ, which heals and saves and works wonders, and suddenly supplies us from the mind of Christ these healing phenomenon, then we depart the opposite of life. We do not support the true idea, mind's idea, the mind of Christ. And if that happens, then only death begins, destruction begins. And that's not death to the physical, that's death to the spiritual concept. It brings the mortal concept of life back to us. We don't have that spiritual concept of life, but we have demoralization sets in. The opposite of life is mind. Instead of that life moving forward according to the mind of Christ, which supports the ever-advancing idea, that all that happens is we go back to demoralization, meaning going back to material concepts that don't support the ever-advancing idea, and you just go back to the unreceptive thought. So over all in all, she's saying under this life is mind tone, let us have Emmanuel. Let that mind which is God be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let that life which is mind come to us. Let's be receptive to it. That the Christ brings to us the life of mind, that life which we support through the mind of Christ. And if we have that life is mind attitude, we will support the ever-advancing idea of science with a receptive thought. We won't go against it and close down our thinking and go back into mortal concepts of life. It's a terrific story, isn't it? But we can only arrive at that story through scientific text interpretation. Just by going through without learning text interpretation, we're on our inspiration again of what the text means to me. And therefore, even if we had Max's epitome, if we really can't hear these tones ourselves and really translate it into notes, because we just have the text. But I want to teach us this art of epitomization, this art of abstraction, where we take the text and now outline just the big major points of it. And then from there, we go back to the epitomes and see, oh, well, now I hear that tone of this epitome, which was the Christ spirit or the life spirit, is revealed by the Christ only to the receptive thought. We go back to that, don't we? And we see it's only that receptive thought now that's going to allow that one life to lift the dead theology within us into a living, practical theology. So you see, we come back to the epitomes again through this method of abstraction. And then the subject has come through science, has revealed us through the method of science to take the infinite one and reduce it down, all this text, to an abstraction, which begins to build up the tonality of what she's really saying, and therefore building up the tonality of our consciousness, so we get the spirit of what she's saying, which takes us back to what we wanted to see in this textbook, that science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being. Through scientific sense, through the exact letter, we gain the spirit, don't we? But we need that exact letter before we gain the spirit. So we have to get the exact letter out of a wilderness of sentences and paragraphs into an abstraction so we get what she's saying so that we can get the spirit of it. So this evening, as an assignment, take life as spirit and see if we can do what we did today. And we're in no rush. We're not going to run along. We're just going to realize that we go out from the one life, which is the isness of life, the nowness of life, the ever-presence of life, and we let the world's concept of rushing to a point omega go by us, and we're just happy doing what we're doing in the slow, plodding sense of a discoverer. So we just will be happy if we now take life as spirit and take that epitome and see if we can find out what are the categories indicated in the epitomes. See if we can hear the life tone in the life of spirit and the spirit tone in the life of spirit. Then go into the text that runs from page 133.19 to 135.10 and do as much as you can. Don't be concerned if you don't get it all done, but my goodness, it's not too much there. So take the life as spirit and begin to mark in the text as we did together where we hear life and where we hear spirit and the Christ. And don't worry about getting it all. Just put it down and dare to make mistakes. Put down just where you think life is and just where you think spirit is and just where you think the Christ might come in. But keep it simple. Don't worry about if she has a tone of mind or a tone of soul or a tone of principle. Just stick to the main categories there of life as spirit. Mark them up in the colors that we have for that. And then maybe with the first marginal heading, see if you can do an abstraction. See if you can take out of all those many words and outline it into an abstraction of just what she's saying with the tone of life and spirit. See if you can make an outline. And then we'll come in tomorrow, and of course, I'll help. I'm here to help, and we'll always just do what I did today, follow through with the assignment, and show you how then I have done it, and how I hear it in the text, and how I've done the abstraction. So I'll help with the exact letter and the abstraction and the spirit as we go on through the chapter, gaining more and more this sense of theology. But already we get a wonderful sense how this new theology, what Christian Science gives, which we're studying in the textbook, is not going to come to the unreceptive thought. So don't bother trying to take it to the churches, it's telling us. They're not receptive. The Christ is going to bring it through its own channels, didn't it? It even says it's not even going to bring it through the channels that we think it might come through. It's going to bring it through its own channels. So don't waste our energies on trying to take it out to the world where there's just unreceptivity at the moment. The Christ will make the world ready for it. All right, so we have our surprise of life and an adventure of love waiting for us tomorrow.